Look. We are towards, I don't know, with five lines above the Mishnah, six lines above the Mishnah. There's a two dots from Yehuda Osir. Rabbi Yehuda Osir, Rabbi Kurim. Now, this is going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda forbid Bikurim to be given to a Koyes Nam Oretz. I think our mission more specifically said that these are units that you're now to give to Koyes Nam Oretz, right? So Rabbi Yehuda, Latayme Kedaite, it was like his line of reasoning to Rabbi Yehuda Amar, so it was the one who said Ein Noistimosa El Chaver B'toiva. Rabbi Yehuda said you can only give it to a chaver, and of course you can exercise discretion which one to give it to. That's why it's you get a tova sanoa, meaning whichever coin you choose to give it to, you're allowed to give it to. But it must give it to a chaver because it's considered to be one of the things which is the kachik vul. Even though it's given the base hamikdash, there's no avoda involved with it. So therefore, it has the status of kochek vul, and you have to give it to somebody who's makbin into matara. Now, it's really, even though you only can eat it in the base hamikdash, well, I think you need throughout Yerushalayim. But even though it's brought in the base hamikdash, and korbanos are brought in the base hamikdash, can be given to any kohen, even a kohen amaretz, not bikurim because they have nothing to do with the avoda proper. Am Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Kiva Kedaita. Now this is going back to the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Karshine Tuma, the animal fodder, which is given as Truma, which we learned that the reason we have to give Truma from animal fodder is because animal fodder may be eaten B'Shas Chag. So it's only Truma Durabana, not Truma Duraisa. So animal fodder, which you give as Truma, so Rabbi Kiva said you're allowed to give it to any Kohen, even Amoritz. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Kiva Kedaita, do Rabbi Kiva Omar, Rabbi Kiva said, Koma Seim Betuma. Anything you do with the animal fodder, Truma, can be done Betuma. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, if people take a chalfa shita, say, even if you were to hypothesize that Rabbi Kiva here does not hold his regular shita, even if Rabbi Kiva were to say, for argument's sake, that you have to make a petahara, Shani Yohu, nevertheless, it's different, meaning you're allowed to give animal fodder to a coin even as an amoretz. Why? Shenadam matzu letame ochele behemto. A person does not usually make his animal fodder tummy. Why is that? Because he doesn't soak them in water. So they never a mukshal a kaibel tuma. So the reason why you're not to give regular food to a coin amoretz is because he might come to make them tummy. But animal fodder, he's not going to make them tummy in any way, shape, or form. Me name my law goes to Allah b'koya. Why did they make a decree? You can't stop at Starbucks on the way, huh? Yeah, all right, we are on Dav Chav Zayin of a base. Where are we now? How many lines from the Mishnah?
Three and a half lines.
Yeah. We only did five lines, so don't worry. Okay? Midnei Malo Gozer Ela Bekoya. Why didn't they make a decree that Bekoya, which is another type of fuvetch, which is only eaten rarely in a great oppression. So why did they make a gzera that it too is chayv in Truma? So it says, I want to tell you, really just by accident. B'min Alein Yotzes Imoin Mi Alexandria. Because when they brought the Bekoya in from Alexandria, so from Egypt, that's where I guess they originally grew, they had to sneak them out of the country. They sneak them out of the country in their shoes. So therefore, the Chachomim were not aware of them when they first entered and glutted the market. So since the Chachomim were not aware of them, they never made a gzera on them. So they got in through a loophole. Meimusai goes to the Karshinim. When they made the decree on Karshinim, and it seems that perhaps that was the same time when they came into the Bekoya came into Eretz Yisrael so repetitiously, the Karshinim, which is already prevalent in the land of Israel, was being eaten as regular food, although it's normally used only as animal fodder. When was that? Rabbi Yossi Omer bin Meir Avon, in the days of a hunger, meaning the days of a famine. Rabbi Chananya, Bashem Rabbi Rebbe said, Bimei David, in the days of David. Amrin, they said in the Beis Medrash, Hi Adah, Hi Adah, it's the same thing. Days of David HaMelech, there was a great famine towards the end of his reign, and that's when they brought in, that's when Karshinim became edible on a widespread scale, even though normally it was animal fodder, so that's when they decreed that was Chayim and Truma. And that probably, although I can't, don't know for sure that it's linked, is when the Bekoya snuck in, that other kind of vegetable snuck in through in people's shoes, and therefore they didn't catch it in time. And once the Xera was not made, they never made a Xera subsequently either.
Was the Bekoya also like an animal fat type of
animal? Yes. Yeah, I don't know. You know,
what
this.
What
beats me.
Oh, okay.
It's not. I tell you, now they don't have a Kavanokia, I can never translate these things. Just says here, Min Yerek Hanechai Deet Chak. I assume it's also animal fodder, though it doesn't say here clearly. Okay.
Yahya Elon in his book does discuss about the period of 115, when there was all sorts of uprisings.
115 CE.
Right.
Yeah.
There were a series of Jewish uprisings against the Roman government, where it resulted in countermeasures, including it was very harsh, and there was, I don't remember specifically starvation, but it's very likely.
Well, that would be major censorship if you changed, if they changes from David, from whatever 115 was, Bar Kokhba, whatever it was at the time, to David. Maybe it is censorship, I don't know. But David really sounds like it's a funny thing to pick in lieu of whatever happened in 115, but maybe. It's an interesting theory. Nita Ish Tkoa. Nita now. Nitai was a fellow from Tkoa. Tkoa is really an Eretz Yisrael, but Hevi Chalos, he brought Chala mi Beitur. Now, Beitur is not Beitar, it's not an Eretz Yisrael, it's a town of Chutz Loretz. And they refused to accept it from him. Anche Alexandria, the people of Alexandria. Hevi Chalos, same Alexandria. Alexandria. The low kibbutz man, they didn't accept it from them either. Anche har tzvuim, that's also Chutz Loretz, obviously, Alexandria is outside Eretz Yisrael. Anche har tzvuim, the people from Mount Tzvuim. Now, Mount Tzvuim is inside Eretz Yisrael. At least we don't know that it's outside Eretz Yisrael. It makes sense to say it's inside Eretz Yisrael because they brought Bikurim from there. Anche har tzvuim, if you begin, they brought their first fruits, Kodom Latzeres, before Shavuos. Lokim lam, they would not accept it from them. Vivnei akosuv shabat Torah, because it says in Torah, the chag hakotzir, the feast of the har, the feast of the harvest, which is Shavuos, bikurei maasecha, when you begin, when you have your bikurim, asher tizra basoda, from that you plant in the field. Now, even though that literally is speaking about what? About grain, right? Because the first grain, the Shteya Lechem is brought on Shavuos. The first grain is brought to the Beis Hamikdash on Shavuos. Nevertheless, since it says Bikurim Maaseh connected with Chag HaKotzir, connected with Shavuos, so we link also all Bikurim that they should only be brought after Shavuos. Ben Atitas, Hello Bechoris, probably brought his Bechoris, his firstborn animals from Bavel. Lokim Meno, they didn't accept from him, and the Gemara is going to ask why not. Now, lochas, you do accept Bechoros from Chutz Loretz. Yosef HaKoyen, Hevi Bikur of Yayin V'Shem, and he brought Bikurim in Eretz Yisrael. He brought them as wine and oil, not as grapes and as olives. But Lokim Meno, they didn't accept it from him either, and the question is why not. Avu Elo Hasbono V'Espnei Beis Losos Pesach Chotem Yushalayim, he also brought his children and his, now Bnei Beis was his wife, his, or wives, I don't know how many he had, but he brought his wife and children up to Lat to make Pesach Sheni in Yerushalayim. Now this is a tremendous chiddush. I don't recall this at all from the Bavli, but Hechziru, they made him go back. Shaloikba davar chayva. You not the words discuss it. Women should not bring Pesach Sheni according to our Mishnah. Only Pesach Rishon. They miss Pesach Rishon. They don't bring Pesach Sheni. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Aristone, Hevi Bikurov Meapamio, he brought Bikurim from Apamio, which is also someplace in Chutz Loretz, but it's in Syria. Apamio is in Syria. The Kivui manner, they accepted it from him.
Mesopotamia.
What?
Sounds like similar.
No, Gib, it's not, because here, it's because, specifically because Syria has Kedusha. Right? Because we said before that if you're eating bikurim for chutzlars, you don't accept it. From a pam yakibli and a why? Because they said hakoyne b'suya, somebody who buys a field in Syria, kikoyne parvar b'parvar Yerushalayim, it's as if he's buying in the outskirts of Yerushalayim, so therefore they accept it as bikurim. Okay?
That's the railing cry of
bikurim. That's right. Now, Tani, beginning the Gemara. Tani, Rabbi Chia. Now, Rabbi Chia said, Gozra Aleihem, that they decreed upon the people who brought bikurim from chutzlarts, meaning from not bikurim, chala, from chutzlarts, meaning that was Nita East Koa, brought it from Beitur, and the people of Alexandria, it seems, and they had to take it back to chutzlarts. They had to take him back. Rabbi Barzavda, Rabbi Barzavda said, Efsher, is this possible? Could they possibly made him take it back? You're stuck no matter what you do in this case. How's a lochla to eat in Eretz Yisrael and at Yochla? You're not allowed to eat this challah in Eretz Yisrael. Why not? Shloim Murino Truma Tmeya Shenechels, because some people might know that this challah came from Chutzlarts. And they'll say, oh, this is Truma Tmeya, because Chutzlarts is a land which is Tameh. Therefore, if you let them eat it, so people might come to say you can eat Truma Tmeya. So therefore, you can't let people eat this challah brought from Chutzlarts in Eretz Yisrael. L'sarfa, maybe say burn it in Eretz Yisrael, right? In Eretz Yisrael, burn it. And at Yochel, that you can't do either. Shlo Yomi Marino Truma Tmeya Nisrefes. Some people won't know that it's from Chutzlarts. People will think that it's true challah from Eretz Yisrael, and they'll say, hey, they're burning Truma Tmeya. That's not proper either. L'achziro limkoyma, to return it to your place, to its place, to Chutz Laretz, and at Yochel, you can't do that either. Shelo yuoyim rim, or that people shouldn't say, roinu truma yetzim noretz l'chutz laretz, because we might say it, think it's real truma, and say we saw truma going from Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz. Okay, Tzad, what do you do? Minicha ra Pesach, you leave it to Pesach, this or for, and you burn it on Pesach. Amr Shimon Gamliel, Ani Raisi Shimon Ben Kahana. Erev Pesach, sorry. Leave it to Pesach, burn it with the Chometz on Erev Pesach. And here he brings down from the Achroinim, that Achroinim say that if it's not, does it become, if it's matzah, let's say it's challah from matzah, so what do? You can't burn Erev Pesach with the Chometz, there's no excuse. Bring challah from matzah, from Chutzlarts Eretz Yisrael, so what are you going to do with it? So he says, you leave it until it gets a very profound and well-known tumah, that everybody knows it's tumah, and then you could burn any time of year. So we're looking for an area. So he actually argues with Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia holds that you bring it back to Chutzlarts, and it's not clear what you do there, but you do bring it back to Chutzlarts. Excuse me. He holds Rabbi Bob, I have to hold it's not possible. And the only thing you can do, because people are going to think you take truma outside of Eretz Yisrael, so the only thing you can do is burn it, but you need to have an excuse to burn it since it's tar. So therefore, you can burn erev chametz with erev Pesach with the chametz if it's chametz, and if it's matzah, you can't burn erev Pesach. Then you wait till it gets a well-known tuma, and then you burn it. Then
what's an example of a well-known
tuma? It was an oil or mace. Oh, nice.
Yeah, how are people going to know?
What?
They're going to have a sign saying this matzah was in an oil.
Well, then people know. People will ask, and they'll say, in other words, Chutz Laretz, then when it comes to Chutz Laretz, it's not known. The Chutz Laretz is Tomei. Not everybody knows it. Even somebody knows it comes to Chutz Laretz, don't know it's Tomei. But comes to all amazed. So, yeah. Speaking of which, on the way here, I was amazed. I only heard a snippet of it, but NPR was having a report on the Chevra Kadisha of Queens. It was amazing. It was mamish. I wonder if maybe I can get it off the web later. Probably because it was Ayin Adar last week. Oh, yeah. It's the human interest. You know, Sunday they do a lot of human interest stuff. It was mamish. It sounded like a very knowledgeable reporter, too. Interviewing all the people. You heard a play-by-play of a Tara going on in the background, though if it's radio, you don't know if it's actually happening or not. But it sounded pretty real. Okay. Says the Gemara. He was drinking wine of Trumanako. Sha'amar, Now, Akko is part Eretz Yisrael, part Chutzlaretz, as we know. So have Eretz Yisrael, have Chutzlaretz. So this is the part which is Eretz Yisrael. Shoamai said, Zehuva Mikilkilya. This is brought from Kilkilya, which means it was brought from Chutzlaretz. Okay, so it was Truma wine, but Truma's Chutzlaretz. So you can't drink it in Eretz Yisrael.
Is this the Kilkilya that we know about?
No, Kilkilya we know about is in Israel, I believe. I believe it's in the West Bank, if I'm not mistaken.
West Bank, the question.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think it's Chutzlaretz. Even according to Oli, bother. Shamazurva Mikilkilya, but besides, it's coming by boat. Okay, this Gemara, it's not clear yet, but you'll see in a minute. The Gazru, and they were decreed, Olav, they decreed on Shimon ben Kahana, they should stay on the boat. The Shasio Betsvina, he drank it on the boat. So he was coming by boat, so it's obviously somewhere at some distance, okay? So he made a decree that they should drink it on the boat. Asked the Gemara, wait a minute. Vayim ne'adam toin lomar, aren't people going to make a mistake to think? Now, the Gemara understood that he landed, actually, on the boat already, and they sent him back on the boat. So aren't people going to make a mistake? It's a typo here. It should be, Shemotzin truma min oretz l'chutzlaretz. Shemotzin truma min oretz l'chutzlaretz. So if you tell him to go back on the boat, what are people going to think? That truma can be taken out of its own, because not everybody's going to know that this is truma from chutzlaretz. No, Mar says, well, you know what I will say? Lo yorad lako. He didn't go down to Akko. In other words, he never landed. They saw him coming. Ship ahoy! And this is the first question he asked, of course. Do you have truma? So he said yes. So they said, not yet. Stay back.
Now, was this beyond the international order?
The frack's good. So now they're going to ask, Eichon Shosio, wait a minute, where do you drink it? Min achut v'lachutz, or min achut l'lifnim? Do you drink it from within the boundary or without the boundary? You got a map here? So it's interesting. I mean, if you drink it, you know, chutz
l'chutz.
Looking at Aleph? Yeah, Aleph is the better one.
I have that.
You got the idea. In other words, the line would have to actually, you'd actually be pretty far off the coast. I mean, this is like, this is the line. Then it's taking the scale here. It's approximately 3 or 4 kilometers off the coast. Maybe not that much. Maybe 2 kilometers. But here's the line. See, the line is
the dotted line,
right? So if it's a dotted line, so then here's Akko. So actually, you would have to drink it outside that line, right? So. Although it's possible, I'm just saying this as a possibility, but I think it's a reasonable possibility, that at the time of Oli Bavel, the line would have actually been drawn, this line might have been drawn for this purpose, from Akko to north of Ashkelon, right, where the boundaries were. In other words, it wasn't necessarily drawn this far. Okay, this is for things where Machmir, you know, vis-a-vis Olim Mitzrayim and stuff like that, for where you take off Chala and things, but maybe the boundary was drawn right there at Akko. But I don't know. I'm not sure where the line was drawn. In any event, so says Mar, Echad Shasio, Minachut V'lachutz, Minachut Lifnim. You drink it from within the boundary or without the boundary. No, Minachut V'lachutz. Pashta says, yes, go back outside the line to drink it, which is a little bit difficult, right? So, how far out that had to be. But you can even say he was allowed to drink it from once he was within the boundary of the international waters. What are we afraid about? Marisain, people are going to think you're taking a truma out to Chutzlaretz? There's no marisain on a boat. People are not going to think that the truma on the boat was really ever in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore he did it there.
Wait a minute. Didn't we decide that marisain anyway is for people in the area, but not if somebody's like, is a traveler going from place to place, that there is no issue of marisayim for that person?
I don't recall we said that.
I will dig it up.
Okay.
Put it on my computer for that one.
All right, you find it.
All right.
But here it's not comparable necessarily, because the traveler, we're not choishes what the travelers are going to say, we're choishes what the people in Akko are going to say about Shimon bar Kahana.
But he's the traveler.
He's the traveler.
Care about it. You don't care what's going
to
happen.
Then you have to bring a rye for that.
Okay.
Rav Shimon bar Kahana, have a mismach. Suzuki, have the coffee. Yeah, behind you. Take it. Rishim Makana, Starbucks. Can't fall asleep on Starbucks coffee. Rishim Makana, have a mismach, Rabbi Lezer. Now, once he started, I skipped. Emesai Rishim Makana, be made Rabbi Lezer. Rishim Makana, live in days of Rabbi Lezer. Oh, that reminds us, we have a story. Rishim Makana, have a mismach, Rabbi Lezer. Totally unrelated to Masechta Chala. Shimbar Khan have a mitzvah Rabbi Lezer. Shimbar Khan was supporting Rabbi Lezer as they were walking down the road. Over Nachatz Yog, they passed by a certain fence. Amrulei, so Rabbi Lezer said to Shimbar Khan, I see Chad Kisam. Bring me a splinter to use Nechtze Shine to pick my teeth. Chosev Amar, from the fence. Because of armor, so he changed his mind and said, you know what? Well, tastily klum, don't bring me anything. Why? Omar, because he said, in asi ko barnash u barnash mebekin, if each and every individual comes, barnash u barnash means person in person, and does this, have a ozil saiga de guvra. The fence of this individual would go goodbye. In other words, the truth is that one toothpick is not going to make or break the fence. And really, you're allowed to take a toothpick from somebody else's fence. But since so many people take toothpicks, eventually it's going to destroy the fence. So therefore, it's a bad example to set, and therefore didn't want to do it. Which is interesting, because you're allowed to take something negligible from somebody else's property and off the chayshish because of gezel. Right?
That's the interesting part.
Yeah. I'm sure in American law would not be permitted.
Of course it's not permitted.
Yeah. But here it's...
Was it a
Shavar
Pruta or less?
It was less than a Shavar Pruta. It's minuscule.
Yeah.
Less than a Shavar Pruta, it's also to steal, but this is something which nobody's makbid. Because this really has to do with Kpeda. If you think about it, this is really a heter in Jewish law for a lot of things. For example, you know, the copying of tapes and things like that, to the extent that those that are poskim who are makel on copying tapes and things, even though American law forbids it, maybe Dina Machusa applies. But according to strict Jewish law, really everything is totally on kpeda. If a person's makbid on half a pruta, then on half a pruta you can't steal. If a person's not makbid, so then you're allowed to do it. So if a person's not going to prosecute you, you know, like to photocopy an art scroll sitter, right? They say forbidden, strictly forbidden, blah, 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 blah. But the truth is they're not going to prosecute you for one page. So therefore, we would say it's not... They're not makbid, and that would be the heter to do so. There better be a heter because everybody goes ahead and does copyrighted material, right? There's no, I don't think there's anybody in the world who refrains from doing that all the time. Anyway, so Chaz of Amar, we just did that, sorry. Now there's another case, a similar one. Rabbi Chagai have a mismach Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Chagai was supporting Rabbi Zira. So they passed by a certain individual, Toin, who was Chad Muva the Kisman. A certain individual is carrying a certain load of Kisin, which also are beams of some sort, wood beams, something. Amarle, so he said the same thing. Isli Chad Kisam, bring me a little sliver, Nechze Shini, I'll use a toothpick. Chazav Amar Rabbi Zira changed his mind and said, "Lo teisli klum, don't bring me anything." Zin asi ko barnashu barnash meh b'sah b'kein. If each and every person came and did this, ha'azla muvla gmuvla degavra, so this person's load would be, you know, used up. Now, it's amazing the way the Gemara expresses it here. Look at this. Lo Rabbi Zira kosher kokach. It's not Rabbi Zira such a big tzaddik. Elo. I can't get over that phrase. Elamilin di Yotzron, the Shamalon Navdinon. The words message Yav Yotzron of our Creator, like in Hebrew it says Yotzrenu, he's teaching us that we should do it. So it's like an example which he wants to set. So I really don't understand the flow. So he was a tzaddik. Because he's teaching you what to do. In other words, saying it's not that he was inherently such a tzaddik. He wanted to set an example.
He would have done it anyway.
Yeah.
For himself. But the idea.
Since Rabbi Chagai was with him.
Right. No, if he would have been by, but he wanted to also teach something. But it seems like he would have. You know, he said, "Give it to me."
Yeah.
A like a normie would do. Yeah. Would do that.
So it was only because he was in public or with, okay, that could be. Yeah.
Could it be that he was observing this din from Yiras Hashem and not Avas Hashem?
No, but that's how the Gemara answers. That could be, but that doesn't sound like it. It says not even that. It says just he wants to teach us. Not that he was doing it for Yira. Not Ava, not Yira, just because he wanted to teach us. That's what it's saying. Lo the Kashra Koka. So you see, even among Amaroyim, they're Madregas. And Rabbi Zira, he wasn't the tzaddik. You know, he was the Rosh Hashiva, not the Mashgiach. Okay. says the Gemara further. Achi Alexandria, the people of Alexandria, hey, view chalasem Alexandria, this we learned in our Mishnah, they brought the chalas from Alexandria, for low kibul man, and they did not accept their chalas from them. Aber Rabbi Ba Mari, Rabbi Ba Mari said, for low Rabbi Chio Ruba, he, wait a minute, didn't Rabbi Chio Ruba say that, now, actually, I should point out the girsa here is very interesting. Rabbi Bar Mari said, "V'lo Rabbi Chia Rubahi, isn't Rabbi Chia the Great?" That's really what the Gemara is asking. Rabbi Chia the Great means that what does Rabbi Chia do with our Mishnah? Rabbi Chia said that they're going to bring him back, but it doesn't say anything in our Mishnah about not bringing them back, right? No, I'm still doing it wrong. All right, how much? No, okay, I misread it. That's what I did. Let me go back to the beginning. I have two thoughts again. That's the end of the kasha. Kasha is, it says in our Mishnah, not that they made him take it back, like Rabbi Chia said, rather just that they didn't accept it. What happened? I don't know. Maybe it was like Rabbi Shimon, what's his name? Rabbi Bar Bar Zavta said that they burnt him in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Rabbi Bar Bar Zavta says if you bring challah from Chutz Eretz Yisrael, they don't accept it. So he burned it there on Erev Pesach, right? What does Rabbi Chia do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah doesn't mention that. It made him take it back. So says the Gemara, this is the answer. Other Rabbi Bar Mari, v'lo Rabbi Chia Rubahi. Isn't Rabbi Chia the Ruba? Now, the way the Levi Yerushalayim explains it, that means Rabbi Chia can change Mishnayos. He can change Girsos because he's a Tana. So Rabbi Chia was called Ruba because he was so great that he had the status of a Tana. So he could amend and tamper with Mishnayos. So that's what I want me to say. I remember Rabbi Ba Mari, Rabbi Chia Ruba, he owed who he slave, because of Levi Yerushalayim. He holds. Either because he amends the Gemara Mishnah, or because he argues on the Mishnah, it's not clear which one, that the Itaka made them take it back to Alexandria with them. So a very interesting usage. In other words, Rabbi Chia, even though he never appears in a Mishnah, right? Never appears as far as I know. I think he actually does appear somewhere in a Mishnah. I forget where. In one of the Masechtot, which is not commonly learned, like Eduyos or something. But he usually doesn't appear in a Mishnah. So I might say that he doesn't have the status of a Tana for that. He certainly edited the Brisos, right? The Toseftos or Rabbi Yechin or Rabbi Yechia. Might say he doesn't have status of Tana. That's what the Gemara is saying, that he was Ruba, the great. He had a status of a Tana, and therefore he could either argue or amend the Mishnah at will. Okay. Anche Har Tzvuim. The people we mentioned, our mission, the people from our Tzvim, have you Bikurim Kol Atzeres, they brought the Bikurim before Shavuos, Lo Kibul Me'em. They didn't accept it from them. Tinan Tamon, we learned over there, Eimavim Bikurim Mashkin. Now, this really is nothing to do with the Mishnah. We just brought down. This is a new statement. It's going really on the next line of the Mishnah. Next line of the Mishnah was said that so-and-so, who was that? Atitas, Ben Atitas. Not Ben Atitas. Yosef HaKoyen. Yosef HaKoyen brought his Bikurim as wine and oil, and they didn't accept it from him. So on that, the Gemara says, Tamina Tamon, Emevin, Bikurim, Mashkin. We learned over there that you cannot bring Bikurim as Mashkin. Now, the question is from later. in that same Mishnah which we're quoting now, the Mishnah which we're quoting now says, "Ein mivim bikurim mashkin." You don't bring bikurim as mashkin. Chutz min ayosim min azeisim min ovi, except for that which comes out of oil and grapes, out of olives and grapes. Meaning olive oil and grape juice, one can bring as bikurim. So why did they accept it from Yosef HaKohen? He didn't bring orange juice as bikurim. He brought grape juice and olive oil. So that should be acceptable. So again, the kash is not from the part we started. Yes, but the end of that Brem Mishnah says that you can bring it if it's olive oil and grape juice. So why did they accept it from Yosef HaKohen? So Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Elazar said, Kini Masni is the way I read our Mishnah, that Mishnah. The Mishnah over there. You cannot make bikurim into beverage in the hands of the Kohen, even once the Kohen has acquired them, unless they are from olives and grapes. So really, you can't bring bikurim as you cannot bring bikurim as beverages or beverages as bikurim, even if it's olive oil and grape juice. So what does the Mishnah say there when it says you can bring olive oil and grape juice? Not you can bring it to Yerushalayim with olive oil and grape juice. A Kohen is allowed to press the olives and the grapes, which he receives as bikurim, in order to make olive oil and grape juice, which you cannot do with any other forms of fruit that he's not allowed to press them into orange juice or apple juice in order to eat them. So says the Gemara. What? It's not. I think it's not a derech. It's not a derech hashivas. It's considered to be a support secondary way of eating them. So it's not lamashcha, as it says by truma. It's supposed to be eaten in the most chashiv way possible. I think by truma also you're not allowed to make it into any other mashkim. You're not allowed to make truma into any other mashkim except for olive oil and grape juice. You have to eat it as the fruit. So says the Gemara. No, this is different. Tipater. Oh wait, not yet. Vatani. Wait a minute. Vatani. Dorach bikurim. Derach bikurim mashkil avion. We learned that you're allowed to bring bikurim as a beverage. You're allowed to press the bikurim in order to make them a beverage, in order to bring them. If somebody pressed his bikurim and made them a beverage in order to bring him minayin shiavi, how do you know you're allowed to bring it? Tamalomar tovi. Because it says, tovi, extra word. In this line, you can bring bikurim as mashke. So it says, marti pater, under the resolve, this is about shalokta mishar rishar amanaskayim. This is about where originally when you collected them with this intent to make them bikurim. The Khan here, however, lo lokta mishar rishar amanaskayim, you didn't collect them originally for the purpose of making them into bikurim, making them mashke. In other words, in Yosef HaKohen brought the grapes, it was an alva, it wasn't grapes which he harvested with the intent of bringing bikurim as grape juice, or olives which he harvested with the intent to make them olive oil before he brought them as bikurim. So therefore, they didn't accept this grape juice and olive oil from him. I think it comes out obviously from this. Let's say you have oranges which you planted to make orange juice from, right? That was the whole purpose, as many oranges are today. Then you'd be allowed to bring orange juice as bikurim. Why? Because it's meant to begin with to be orange juice. So therefore, you're allowed to bring a bikurim. Not only could accept, should be a case even by olives and grapes, as we mentioned here, where the intent was never to make them into olive oil or grape juice. There, it's forbidden to bring them that way in the form of bikurim.
They obviously had to ask Yosef HaKohen
what his original intent was. Yeah. That's right. Okay? Says more of Asya. Now we're going back to the concept Pesach Sheni, that women shouldn't participate in Pesach Sheni. Asya command Dorma, this is going like the opinion that Pischon shall noshim rishus. Now we're going to have three opinions. This opinion holds that women in Pesach Rishon are optional, and then Pesach Sheni they go down a notch and they don't make Pesach Sheni at all. And there are three opinions. Tani, we learned Ha'isha osa Pesach Rishon la'atzma.
The first opinion is that of Rabbi Meir. A woman makes Pesach Rishon by herself. In other words, she can have her own Korban Pesach. She can commission her own Korban Pesach. Vasheni Tvei Lachim. In Pesach Sheni, she can only join a group with others. The Rabbi Meir. She can't commission her own. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, Ha'isha Osa Pesach Sheni La'atzma. A woman can even make Pesach Sheni on her own. She can commission her own Korban Pesach or Pesach Sheni. Afilu B'Shabbos. And this is even true. Pesach Sheni comes out on Shabbos. I don't think it comes out on Shabbos nowadays, but not to bring in Korban Pesach Sheni anyway. But Pesach Sheni cannot be Pesach Sheni is Doch Shabbos, just like Pesach Rishon, even for a woman. Vein Tzir Lomer goes without saying that she's Pesach Rishon she can make commission her own as well. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Oimer Ha'isha Osa Pesach Rishon, a woman can make Pesach Rishon Tefela Lachem only as part of somebody else's chabura. Ve'ein osa Pesach Sheni, and she cannot make Pesach Sheni at all. And that is our Mishnah's opinion, that in Pesach Rishon she's Rishus, meaning she's subordinate to others. And she certainly does not make Pesach Sheni altogether at all. My time of the now, what is the Psukim here? My time of the Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir learn? Rabbi Meir said in Pesach Rishon she's mandatory, in Pesach Sheni she's optional, therefore she has to be joined with others. So he says, Sela Beis Avo. The puzzle says Sela Beis Avo, Sela Bais. Bais we understand to be a euphemism for a woman. Okay? A set, a Korban Pesach, a goat for each household, a goat for the woman. So how do we dodge that? Sela Beis Avos. So the set is for the Beis Avos. Imratzu, if they want, also Sela Bais. So that means in Pesach Rishon, where the Pasuk is stated, she gets to do her own seh if she wants. But not by Pesach Sheni. By Pesach Sheni, we assume she cannot make her own seh, and therefore, says the Rabbi Meir, Pesach Sheni, she can only be subordinate to others. My time at the Rabbi Yossi, what's the logic of what's the Pasuk of Rabbi Yossi? He learns the same Pasuk, but he learns it differently. Rabbi Yossi, oh, she's mandatory even in Pesach Sheni. He says, Ish seh lebeis avos. A man brings a seh for the Beis Avos, so therefore goes without saying that includes the women. Koshkein Labayis includes the women. So why does it say Labayis separately? It's superfluous. So the way he learns it, it means that she's equivalent. Since the Beis Avos would have included the woman, and they were singled out, that means they're on an equal footing with men in this. You know, why is this? Why do we have to go through this torturous thing? Because Pesach Mitzvah Seishah is Mangroma. Yet it's a mitzvah station as mangroma, which you're chayiv koris if you miss. So therefore, we're trying to reconcile how do we fit a woman into a mitzvah station as mangroma, which is so significant, right? And that's of course why we're dealing with these psukim.
What about that the women were mishtatif in the mitzvah? If you see it's Mitzrayim because they
that wouldn't have to do with Korban Pesach though. That would have to do with Hallel and Lo Pesach. Oh, that's what we're from.
Also, that have to do with the lab rather than the essay.
The lab, perhaps the chametz, maybe, I don't know, but I'm not sure. The lab of chametz didn't apply that first year, right? The first year that Pesach chametz and matzah together. So I don't know if later on it would reflect the nice. Matar Hashem Laz. What's actually Hashem Laz is the most machmir. He says ish sela beis avos. That means a man. Below Isha, and not a woman.
What about the bias?
I don't know. I don't know. Levi Shine doesn't say he does it. I'm not sure he does it. I guess he doesn't darshan bias as a euphemism for women. I guess that's what I would say. It means ish sela beis avos. Sela bias means for the bias which he's making. I guess that's what he darshans it. It's not explicit enough to be a valid euphemism. Ma'amakam Rabbanan Ish. What do Rabbanan do with that which it says Ish? Right? Ish Lichor means men, that they are in superior fitting to women. Footing to women. Says the Gemara, Ish Prat Lakata. And they learn Ish is to exclude a cotton. I'm Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah said, you know what? Our Mishnah, it's a very interesting thing Rabbi Yonah is about to say. Fa'afilu ma'adam ar-chayva. You know what? It could even be that Pesach Sheni is a chiyuv for women. I'm sorry. Pesach Rishon is a chiyuv for women, not Pesach Sheni. This army is going according to Rav Meir, who holds women in Pesach Rishon are chova, and Pesach Sheni is rishus. Hi, so why did they let Yosef HaKohen do this? This
You know what? I just realized as I'm saying this, if you needed to have a makor to aser women's minyanim, this would be the place to do it. All of a sudden, hit me. Why? Look at this. Shan Yehusha Dover Mesuyam Shema Yikova Dover Choiva. Here, Yosef HaKoyen was making a public spectacle of having his wife come and make Pesach Sheni. We're afraid that people are going to say that and assume, it must be women have a chiyuv to make Pesach Sheni. So you see that for public policy reasons, they prohibited. I don't think anybody's ever brought this Yerushalmi and trying to disprove women's minyanim. Just goes to show how few Bikim and Yerushalmi we have today. But this is mamish the case. Since it's something which is a davar mesuyam, then where if it's a public spectacle, B'nai Moshe says this, you can take a look there. So therefore, we're afraid that a person is going to come to do it on a consistent basis and make it as if it's a permanent and required thing. Okay?
So the argument for women's minyanim is that there is a chov of davening at least once a day. Whereas,
yeah, but
you were saying that this is optional totally, according to the mayor. Yeah. So I think there's a distinction.
All right.
So how do we pass it about
the women's the animal also?
No, not that one. But yes. It's a hole for Pesach Rishon, and it's
I didn't look it up. I'm not sure. What is were there any little letters there?
I didn't see any.
No little letters? What about by the Mishnah?
There is one by Shanya here.
Where is it?
It's like a backward Z.
No, that's not a little letter. That's the that's for the Mesuras HaShas. Mm-hmm. But the Mishnah, there wasn't a little letter?
There's a vote there.
There was a little letter by Rav Yossi.
Yeah.
Yossi Araish also Pesach Sheni Latzma.
Yeah, what's the letter?
Shabbos, and then there's a little letter. The Ein Tzrich Lomar HaRishon.
Okay, where is the letter going to? Which Rambam? It's got to be going to some Rambam.
Okay.
It should be Nichols Korm Pesach.
Bikurim.
No, that's the wrong one then.
Perk sign, Nichols Bikurim?
No, it wouldn't be there. It'd be Nichols Korm Pesach.
Makes
sense. Me Korm Pesach, Nichols Korm Pesach.
Nice.
Paskins. Nashim B'Sheni Rishus. So he doesn't. It doesn't seem like he's paskins this Dover Mesuyim thing here, because maybe this is a special thing with Yosef HaKoyen that he wanted to make a big tumult about it. We paskin that they're Rishus, but we don't paskin that they're barred from doing so. So it's interesting. So they had to make a point for public policy here, and that's why they asked women's minyanim. Okay, now let's go. Let's learn the next thing. In this business, you can never be too big a kanoi, right? Says the Gemara further. Now I'm going to have a couple of points about this, the public policy issue. Says the Gemara, locate Savin Meimar. Now, this is the next case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you bring Bikurim before Shavuos, it doesn't work. So ask more. Lokein Sarvi Meimar Kodem Shtei Alechem. Didn't we learn in another place? This is some Mishnah in Menachos. Then we learned that you're not supposed to bring Bikurim before Shtei Alechem. Lo Yavi Vim Hevi Kosher, but the evidence brought is good enough. So why did they accept it again? Shani Yisha Dover Muslim. This is different because it's a public spectacle. Shemi Kava Dover Chayv. In other words, they made a big point of bringing it before Shavuos, and therefore, even though the evidence okay, in this case, because of public policy reasons, they didn't allow it. But Logan Tinan, then we learn the next case in the Mishnah. It says that they brought the Bechayrus from Chutzlarts, they didn't accept it. Hi, then we learn in Mesez Sech, the Tamura, it says that you're not supposed to bring a Bechor from Chutzlarts, but in both Mimini Karbu, if they came, so you can give sacrifice to them. Again, Shani Yisha Dover Mesuyim Shemi Kava Dover Chova. Same idea. Again, with public policy reasons, they didn't want to allow it because this is a public spectacle. Aristone, as the Gemara, Ariston hevi bikurim me'apam yo v'kibul imenu. Ariston brought his bikurim chutzla from apam yo, and they accepted it from him. Ask the Gemara, how can he bring this? Tama, we learn over there, Emavim Truma Michutz La'aretz. You're not allowed to bring Truma Michutz La'aretz. If you view Bikurim, how can they bring Bikurim? Right? What's the difference? If you can't bring Truma Michutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael, how can you bring Bikurim Michutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael? We'll leave that for the siyach, which we'll make in a few minutes. Seth, if you guys will stay for Mincha, I think I'll have to make. I don't think I'll have Minim before Mincha, but after Mincha, I'll make a siyach. Okay? What? Let's start Arla. Now, this is a case of this is Aloha of Arla. Arla, as you know, means the first 3 years that a tree grows, a fruit tree, it may not be you may not eat its fruit. The fruit is also by na. You have to destroy the fruit, you cannot derive any benefit from it. Can't give it to anybody, you must destroy it. Okay? Nothing. Zilch. My brother once asked the Tzitz Eliezer Akasha. He asked the Shaila, we worked one summer years ago in Moshav Matityahu. And they were still in the grape business, which they're no longer in. My brother-in-law lives in Moshav Matityahu. My brother worked there many summers ago. But I do have a brother-in-law who lives in Matityahu.
That's what Zev left is here.
Yeah. So they used to work in the vineyards, which were Arla. And they, since you can't use the grapes, so they were throwing the grapes at each other. So they asked the Tzitz Eliezer if that's considered to be the Hanah, which is also with Arla. So he paskin was mutter. So that's not the title of Hanah, which there was also. It's a good shayla.
Oh, yeah. Yes. On that you can say... what does the Gemara say by Rabbi Zira? Lokokach kosher. Give me a
All right. Hanatei lisiog olakoros. So let's say if somebody plants the trees not for the purpose of this is immediate loophole, right? Being the Masechta. Amazing concept. You plant them not for the purpose of cultivation, but in order to make a fence at the end of your field. Or the corals, you plant them to use the beams. Put them in Arla. You can eat the fruit right away. It's amazing.
The what?
You can the beams to cut the beams them down to use for furniture. Yeah. No, the first one is a fence. Yeah, that's
right.
The siog.
That's
the corals is to use the beams.
Okay.
So put them in Arla. Put your pot them in Arla. To use the wood of the tree. Right. In the meat, no, of course you can cut down the tree. You're not allowed to harvest the fruit. But if you plant it for this purpose, so then you're allowed to use the fruit even during the first 3 years. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
So people are not going to think that it was...
Myrosine. I don't know. I guess people could... Oh, no. Remember, we'll discuss it. They look different when they're planted this way. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Omer, this is amazing. Afilu Omer, Pnimi L'maycho. You take the same tree and say, this half of the tree, the inner half, will be for food. Lachitz on the outer half of the tree, Lisyog, will be for fence. Still, Hapnimi Chayev, the inner side of the tree is Chayev in Orla. Vapnichitz on Potter, the outer side of the tree is Potter from Orla. It's amazing. Okay? Hanotea Lisyog. In the end, begin the Masechta with a bang, right? You plant the tree for the purpose of a fence. Ksivit says, "Untatem kol eitz ma'achol." It says when you plant any fruit tree, "Eshul ma'achol chayev," that which is planted for food is chayev in orla. The siog, if it's planted for fence, lekoros means to use beams. Leitzim is the same thing you're using the wood. I guess you know not so much for beams, but for wood, potter you're exempt. Meyato, that's the case. Also shamacho, true. But let's say you planted for food. Afilu chishav of lisyog yechayev. Later on, if you redesignate it to be a fence, perhaps should be chayev. Nope, it's not. Tamulomar eitz macho has to be a fruit tree. And if you redesignate it for the purpose of a fence, it taka remains potter. Rabbi Yossi says yilma dover mitchiloso. You know I can learn from there, but let me learn from a better pasuk from the beginning, from the initial concept. Mimashva shenemar, since from that which it says shalosh shanim yelochem arelim, 3 years it should be orel lo yeochel, it shouldn't eat. Don't we know it's talking about a fruit tree? Why is the pasuk then have to go on to say, right, you're going to plant any fruit-bearing tree. So there's an extraneous pasuk. So this we deduce, as we said here, that which is planted for fruit, that's chayv in orla. Lisyok, if you plant to be a fence. Lekoros, for the beams. Ulaitim, for the wood. Potter. You learn from the end of the pasuk. Imagine from the end of the parsha. Imagine Shneimar, since it says Uvashana Chamishis in the 50 year Tochlus period, you should eat its fruit. Lo Siv Lachen Tvoso, to add for you its crop. Chienu Yodim, do we not know Shabbat Machla Kosam Medaber? Buzz is talking about a fruit bearing tree. Matam Lomer Tatem Kol Eitz Machlo. So why does the puzzle say you should plant all fruit bearing trees? Right? When you plant all fruit bearing trees, that which is for food is chayav, lisyog, if it's for siog, for fence, lakoros, for beams, ulaitim, for wood, potter, again, the same thing, just different ways of learning the same drasha. Tanur shungam liomer, ba'med vorim amurim, you know what, there's a catch. You're waiting for the catch, right? You knew it couldn't be true. Ba'med vorim amurim, bizman shenota, lisyog, lakoros, ulaitim, when you plant it for a fence, for wood, or for beams, or for wood, davashu roi lohem, something which is suitable for that purpose. Now, suitable for that purpose means that it's a tree which is normally used for that purpose.
Sturdy,
right? Why don't you plant it like a grapevine for a fence, which is ludicrous? Not the davash ein roi lohem chayev. Then you don't get out of the orla. Says Mar Yosam Har Shingamliel. Shingamliel saying good. My time is Shingamliel. What's larger Shingamliel? Rabbanan. My time is Rabbanan who exempt you. Rabbi Zir. Rabbi Zir said, you're right. Even according to Rabbanan, we're talking about B'mishana Seder Netiyosan. Hi guys. Want to learn some Yerushalmi? B'mishana Seder Netiyosan. You're changing the way they're planted. Meaning that you give them Not the tree itself, obviously, but the way they're planted in their arrangement. Le'etzim, when you're doing it in order to get the wood, you plant them berotzim. You plant them very close together, because then you don't care if they have enough room to grow, because that's only if you need the fruit, if you need the trunk and the wood. So you don't need to give them room to grow to spread their foliage. Lekoros, if you plant them for beams, b'mishapis, so they had a way of planting them. They used to split the trunk in two while it was growing, and that way they'd get better beams. I guess the trunk would expand, they'd get two trunks, they get better beams that way. And finally, b'lisyog, when you plant them to be a fence, mokum esyag mechichlof, you have to plant them around along the border of your field, right, in a straight row, so then it indicates that it's being planted as a fence. So all these cases with taka are exempt because of the way it's planted. Okay.
Zmucha Milsa,
right.
Takes care of your problem.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
that's right. But it's clear. 5:35, right? 35. 35, yeah. 5:35. Tani b'shem Raimer. We learned the name Raimer. Kol ilanos boyin l'machsheves p'dur. All trees come to come to be machsheves p'dur, meaning if you designate them to be a fence or to be for the wood or for the beams, they're all exempt. Chutz min azayis umin ateina, with the exception of a zayis or a teina, obviously the olive tree or the fig tree, they're so choshuv that they can't come to become considered to be fences, etc., etc. They're by definition fruit bearing trees. Now, Raimer kedaite. This is a very interesting chazara here. Raimer is like his line of opinion. It says, Kol ilonos ilon srak, chutz mizayis teina. All trees are considered to have the status of ilon srak, except for zayis teina. Now, I have to remind you what this is. This is halacha that when you want to trellis your grapevine. It's halacha from Kilayim. You want to trellis your grapevine. So then, when you trellis your grapevine over an ilon srak, right, you don't have 535, right, Maishi? 35?
Yeah,
535. 35, yeah. Because Lichbencher yesterday was 525, wasn't it?
4:26.
What was it yesterday, Lichbencher?
4:26.
5:26.
We announced yesterday 5:35. Anyway, we have a minute, so we won't have a problem. We announced 35, so we have to do 35. Okay. Anyway, when you have a tree which grows up and you trellis your grapevine over it, so then whatever is you can plant. The question is whether you can plant underneath the other branches, which are not yet trellised over. You remember this, right? So if it's an Ilan Srak, if it's a non-fruit-bearing tree, you can't plant under any of them. Because I say you're eventually going to allow the grapevines to extend over the other branches as well. If it's another fruit-bearing tree, so then you can plant under the rest of the branches, because I say whatever it's not extending over, you don't intend to extend it over. It doesn't lose its own chashivas, and of course you're allowed to plant all sorts of grains in proximity to a fruit-bearing tree as long as it's not a grapevine. So now says the Gemara. So says Rabbi Meir. All ilanos have a din of ilan srak, which they're all considered negated, subordinate to the grapevine, with the exception of two. What are they? A olive tree and a fig tree. So it says, olive trees and fig trees are choshev. Olive trees and fig trees are choshev, so therefore they also cannot have a machshava pertain to them, which takes them out of being fruit-bearing trees. So they can never be considered fence trees, wood trees, bean trees. They can't have such a machshava.
So just like
they always have din of arlo, no matter what your intent was, because they're chashivas. Tani, we learned, b'shem Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon said the exact opposite. Ein l'cha ba, well, you would see more machmir, excuse me. Ein l'cha ba l'machsheves p'tur. There are only three trees which could become ever potter. What are those? Only three. He said, el shlosha, shlosha samin. By the way, we don't paskin a mayor by kilayim. By kilayim, we talk about paskin that only over an ilan srak does it lose its chashivas. Over any fruit-bearing tree, the fruit-bearing tree retains its chashivas and it can plant on the other half. But that's not, we're not discussing that now. So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon says, Ein l'cha bala machsheves p'tur ela shlosha saminim bilvad. Only the following three types of trees, they can negate their chashivas and make them other types of wood, for make them siog, etc. What are they? Rimen? I don't know what rimen are. Shikma, sycamore, and slaf is caper. Maushi uchavim ha'aiser. Ask more, very interesting question. These trees, when you negate their chashivas as fruit-bearing trees, you make them now wood trees. Is the fruit chayv and meiser? Tifluk to the Rabbi Bobar Melmel to Rabbi Yila. It's my lord to Rabbi Bobar Melmel and Rabbi Yila. This bargain we learned. Hamisham et peros of leitzim. Let's say you're growing wood. You're growing a fruit tree, but you're going to use the fruit as wood. So I don't know what kind of tree. I guess like pine cones. You can burn them. They can be used as fuel. Rabbi Bobar Melmel Amar chayv. Rabbi Amar Memel says the Chayv and Meiser. Rabbi Hila b'shem Rabbi Yossi Omer Potter. Rabbi Hila name Rabbi Yossi says they're Potter from Meiser. So this is the same machlokus over here, right? Wherever you grow something for wood and then use the fruit afterwards, is it Chayv and Meiser or not? Rabbi Ba, you know what? We'll stop here for there goes another 2 minutes. So I don't know. I don't think I can finish the thought. So we'll come back to this machlokus tomorrow evening. Hey, sorry. We're finishing this evening Masechta Chala. Masechta Chala is the third to last Masechta in the Yerushalmi. That means that Mir Tashem is in Zroim. Mir Tashem in a month, 4 weeks from today, we'll be making our grand Siyum. And hopefully you'll all be invited on Seder Zroim in Talmud Yerushalmi. In the meantime, finishing Chala, just a few remarks on Chala, so we'll cover the occasion. The very suitable to finish challah the week of Purim, because Purim is the this is just off the cuff, so it might not be that good, but the week of Purim is the one miracle, of course, for which there's a yontif in Chutz La'aretz, as the Gemara talks about. You know, there's a possibility that the reason why we don't say challah on Purim is because it's a nation b'chutz la'aretz, v'enom rishiyal nation b'chutz la'aretz. In fact, the way we paskin is that we do that the challah is. The Megillah is in lieu of Hallel. In fact, the Meiri, which holds that if you don't have a Megillah on Purim, you're supposed to say Hallel instead. But clearly, the Gemara holds that the Maskana, we do say Hallel in Purim in the form of the Megillah, And this is despite the fact that it's in Chutz La'aretz, because obviously there's a great illumination which even was able to penetrate the Chutz La'aretz, which took place at the time of Purim. So to Chala is the one Matnas Kahuna, the one gift, which of course we don't give it to Kohanim Bizman Hazeh anymore because our Kohanim are Tamei, but we still take off Chala from dough even in Chutz La'aretz. No matter where you are, you find yourself, the halacha is you take off challah from dough, and it's there, it's unique in that sense among all the matzanos which were given to Kohanim. And perhaps there's also similarity in that challah Purim is a miracle which was effected by a woman, and challah, well, I asked there, for those who don't remember, and challah is also taken off by women. In fact, the Gemara says, why is challah taken off by women? Since chava ruined chaloso shel olam. Adam Rishon is called chala because he was taken as kind of, so to speak, a chala from the dust, from the mud, from the dirt of the earth in order to form him and make him into Adam. So chala is representative of that. In order for chava to be mechaper for having ruined Adam Rishon by tempting him with the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, so women take off chala. So challah and Purim are related in that both of them are done by women, and being done by women obviously makes it suitable to make the seum the week of Purim. Now, yes, it's on tape though now. Yeah. She was machti or she took off challah?
Ate the red peppers
on
the one avenue by the
made in Israel.
And their Carmel.
Uh-huh.
It's a big problem.
So you have a problem, yes.
What you buy.
Yeah.
Those red peppers and yellow peppers are from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be in
offering. Right. There you have to have Mavishumas and Mises because it came from Israel. That's correct.
Be very careful.
Okay, now in order to finish Masechta Chala, in fact, the last Gemara is does not talk about Chala, it talks about Truma and about Bikurim. And we learned that the Mishnah, the last Mishnah of Chala, talks about whether you can bring Chala from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael for going to eat in Eretz Yisrael, and because the Mishnah Paskins, you may not. So the Gemara says, we learned over in another Masechta, Tamat Ninan, that you do not bring Truma from the Masechta Shviyas. It says you don't bring Truma from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to do so. The Avil Bikurim. So ask Mara, if that's the case, why does our Mishnah say you are allowed to bring Bikurim from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael? Now both of these are the Rabbanans. Truma and Chutz La'aretz is the Rabbanan. Bikurim, if it's applied to Chutz La'aretz, is the Rabbanan. But Truma, you're not allowed to bring from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and Bikurim you are. What's the difference? So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Rabbi Yeshua says Bikurim is Bachrayus Bailim. Bikurim is brought to Eretz Yisrael by the people who own the Bikurim. In other words, Bikurim is brought at the discretion of the owner, and he brings it up to Eretz Yisrael to the Beit HaMikdash. And only then can the Kohanim get a hold of it. Truma, we have halacha that Truma can be given to the Kohen already at the barn. And in fact, the meaning of Kohanim was to go around to the barns and to the silos to ask for the Truma. They would go out to ask for a handout. So therefore, says the Gemara, Truma ain't a Bachrayus Bailim. Truma is not under the jurisdiction of the owners, meaning that a Kohen can come to the barn or to the silo and ask for it. If you say you're allowed to bring Truma from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, so the result will be that Kohanim will go to Chutz La'aretz and ask for the Truma of people in Chutz La'aretz. And we don't want Kohanim to go to Chutz La'aretz because Chutz La'aretz is Tomei because of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I heard once, I think it was Rav Kook who said it was, in fact, himself a Kohen. I think he's the one who said that the heterim which you find in the Gemara, which is the heterim for which to leave Eretz Yisrael, for Lisa Isha, for Parnasa, and Leon Motara, that's for Kohanim. For Yisrael, it's mutter to leave Eretz Yisrael at his discretion, even for a pleasure trip. But for a Kohen, it's only mutter for these three things, because for Kohen to be Matami Tumas Eretz Amim, it's not a problem. Otherwise, so Shaila, how Kohanim can take vacations? If they live in Eretz Yisrael, they can take vacations in Chutz La'aretz. Why it's not a Shaila, it's probably also. But
That's for the Kohen. Since the Kohen's not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael because of Tumas Eretz Amim, so therefore we don't give Kohanim Truma and Chutzlort, so they shouldn't go and try and get it out of Chutzlort to become Tame as a result. Yeah, but it seems that all the Xeris of Tumas Eretz still apply to Kohanim. The Tumas Eretz Amim is based on Mason, right? That the Tumas based, so it could be it still applies. Okay. Tiskayim bono bisalecha tancha uscha b'shach b'cha tishmar alecha v'akitzosa hi tisichecha ki vi yirbu yamecha v'siv l'cha shnos chayim archemim b'imina b'ismol osher v'chavod anoy oz amayitein anoy v'arech samo v'ashol.